and welcome again this week, we're going to be trying something a little different yet again. We had a guest plan for tonight, which you may have heard us tease once or twice or however many times. As life happens and the world continues to turn, they were unable to join us tonight. So, like Ross, we're directing a pivot through the narrow stairwells of life.
Pivot.
We learned over the weekend that things were changing, which meant we didn't have a lot of time to switch gears to do a total recap. So join us on this adventure in a true side quest, not just the ones we inadvertently explore every episode.
I guarantee there will be some side quests in this side quest.
There always
Stay
are.
Tuned. There always. Always are. So what we're doing, we are revisiting an episode that we have already recapped, but it was ages ago, our episode 3. Oh my God, when we were just
babies.
We're brand new.
Still talking
podcasters.
About Cutwater, though.
Yeah.
And
that's how old the Cutwater I had drank the other night, because I bought all those at the same time.
I believe it. The reason we chose it was that last week when we did our Haunted Minnesota Files episode, AP had already prepared a spotlight on the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. But given that we had already covered it, we were saving that for another time. So we thought, hey, let's take a look back at both the Dead File episode from season 9, which took place there, and also a look at our old episode and talk about what we've learned since recording that.
Yeah. Since it was an early episode, it was just Megan and I, and it was when our format was that we would each cover one Dead Files episode each week. I don't know what we were thinking.
I don't know how you guys did that.
I don't know either. I honestly.
We spent a long time recording.
Yeah, we did. And also, like, I didn't watch the episode that Megan covered, and she didn't watch the episode I did. We each watched our own and, you know, whatever. So it wasn't like we had to watch two episodes or, you know, prepare to, but it was a lot of talking. And yeah.
I mean, which we're really good at.
Yeah. I mean, that part wasn't really a problem. It's probably the listening part of it.
Yeah.
That was
so we are sorry.
Yeah. So we should have just cut them
Why
all up
is
into
this
two.
Podcast 4 hours long?
You know what the funny thing is, though? They were really still only about an hour. They hour were. And 10, maybe. I don't know. We just talk more now.
Yeah.
Like I just did. So we didn't spend a lot of time doing research on those locations like we sometimes do now. And listening again, we realized that we should revisit some of these and note that, of course, we now know what happens on the screen is not the whole picture. And we had made some conclusions on that one and other of our old ones that may not have been the best with the little knowledge that we had. I've since reached out to Kelly, the client, and she told me that after her episode aired, she actually got death threats.
Not cool, guys.
Not cool. Not cool. Whoever did that, don't do that.
Why?
I know. I know. What did she do that somebody needs to die? I mean, seriously.
That's aggressive.
I know. I want to ask her the details, but she sounded like she didn't really want to talk about it. I don't blame her.
I mean, she didn't do anything. I mean, first of all, we're in Minnesota, you guys.
People
this is
are
Minnesota
weird.
Nice.
I know.
We do not send death threats in Minnesota.
No. That's not cool.
That
anyway.
Is not okay.
Yeah.
I know none of our listeners did that.
No, none of our listeners.
Not you guys.
No. And you guys would have done that. But
especially
did.
That Samantha.
Huh?
Don't we have a Samantha? Who's our patron that I always talk about?
Shannon.
Oh, was
oh
a
my
guest.
God. Shannon, there you go.
Sorry, Shannon's gone now.
Shannon, your new nickname's Samantha.
That makes me think
she
of
from Bewitched?
The Frozen, the second Frozen when Olaf is trying to find the wind and he's like, Samantha? And then he goes, I don't even know a Samantha. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Shannon, if you're still with us, I'm sorry. Shannon's like, they don't even know my name.
You can have a fight with Megan, but...
Yeah, have a fight with me.
We knew your name. Although I called her Shanna one time because we had a Shanna too. And I got mixed up about which person said what. Anyway.
So basically, AP's the only one who knows Shannon's name.
Precious.
She hasn't screwed up yet. Give her a minute. So anyway, for now, here's the recap of our recap. And we hope that you enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
Amy, do you want to do your little overview thing first? Since we're not really doing an overview of the Dead Files episode, you can read your little doohickey and then we can talk about the episode. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, Palmer House. We have a little bit of history here. It is located in Sauk Center, Minnesota, which is northwest of the Twin Cities. And I love listening to you two chat about it in the first episode. You're like, where is Sock Center? Is that St. Cloud?
I don't know where that is.
Wait, that's north of St. Cloud. That's way up there.
She far, Megan said. She far. And then I looked it up the other day.
We're basically in Canada.
I know.
Yeah, except that it's not towards Canada. It's towards Fargo.
Yeah.
And you said, bring your passport.
Ooh, for sure.
We're going to Sox Center. But I looked it up. I Google mapped it. Mm-hmm. And it's an hour and a half from my house.
Yeah. So it's not far.
It's not that bad.
No. Okay. It's really not. Yeah. So originally it was built in 1863, but burned down in 1900. It was rebuilt in 1901 and used the same substructure. There were other fires, but those are not actually really covered on the website about the information on the Old Sock Center House. So the Old Sock Center House was built in 1863. It was renamed a few times. It was the Apfeld House before its demise, which meant that was just the person who owned it. He called it after himself, same as what the Palmers did. Mm-hmm. It was a hotel.
I mean, I would too.
It was a hotel, a saloon, and a brothel. So there's...
At the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's only good
business. A lot of those were at that time, yeah. Especially when they were in the thoroughfares of, mm-hmm. you know, being on the roadways or the highway, mm-hmm. became highways, because Sock mm-hmm. Center is not far off of 94. It burned down on June 26th of 1900, and it's believed that many of the spirits are from that part of the history, so before the 1900 era. It is believed to have been an intentional fire at that time and an apparent eyesore with lack of upkeep for the times. Now, I know in the show it says that it was sold to the Palmers. Mm-hmm. What I remember reading about it a little bit is that the town refused to have the person who owned it have it rebuilt. And so they did not want to have that person who owned it previously rebuilt. So that's maybe why it was sold mm-hmm. to the Palmers or auctioned off or however it came into their possession.
Did they say why, or they just the town didn't want them?
Well, it was an eyesore, and they believed that it was burned down for insurance purposes.
Oh. I thought the eyesore meant that it was an eyesore after the fire.
No, it was before that. So it used to be like the heart of the city. We've heard this mm-hmm. a few times on the mm-hmm. the Dead Files, but mm-hmm. it was no longer that. It was in disrepair. It wasn't doing well. So it was mm-hmm. rebuilt in 1901 by the Palmers, who are Ralph and Christina, and the town was excited to have the first luxury hotel. It even had electricity.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. So other family members that lived here included the children, Hazel and Carlisle, and Christina's mother and brother. And they all worked on the property at some point mm-hmm. in time.
I love the name Hazel. And mm-hmm. Carlisle is from Twilight.
Okay, this person probably wasn't before, named after yeah. Twilight.
it was from Twilight, before Twilight. But
Twilight was named after this person.
Yep, there you go. It was the it place to stop. Like, this was businessmen stayed here while they were traveling. The locals loved it. They loved to grace the doors. It was a local hangout. It was the hangout of author Sinclair Lewis. He even referred to this hotel as the mini Mashie House in his novel Main Street. So he grew up in Sock Center. Mm-hmm. And so this is he worked here as a youth. Like, he was a busboy and that sort of stuff as a child or child, teenager, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever time they started
young
working.
Adult.
You
not
know,
grown
probably
up.
Seven, Five. 17 months.
Yeah. 17 months. That's when we started Jordan.
Yeah. Yep. Got to earn your keep.
Exactly.
You're expensive, bro. Like, let's go.
Yep.
So over the years, you know, things have changed. In 1993, the Palmer House underwent a remodel and a refresh. So the original Palmer House had 38 rooms, with each pair of rooms sharing a necessary room, a.k.a. a bathroom.
Potty.
The new design made all of that into 19 rooms, which each have an ensuite. So they all have a bathroom inside of there. So rooms do vary in size. Mm-hmm. I did look up. They are affordable.
Cool. Okay.
So the Palmer House still operates today, and it's a National Historic Site. You can stay there, dine there, take a tour, many things to do. And if you have an experience during your stay, you are encouraged to share them on their website or in their mm-hmm. little book that they have.
Mm-hmm. In their binder.
The alleged hauntings binder. That are here. There's many tales of spirits haunting these halls dating back to the late 1800s. Again, likely many of them from before 1900. The owners, Kelly and her husband, are working on documenting people's experiences, as they have had many and they have a whole list on their website that you can mm-hmm. find. It is believed that potentially Sinclair Lewis still haunts the halls of his youth. Now, is that just somebody hoping that it's Sinclair Lewis, or has there sure. been much evidence to that? Who's to say? Experiences people have mostly do not seem to be of ill intent. Mostly mm-hmm. things being seen, things like apparitions or things moving up in your room, knocking on doors, and other noises.
And where did you get this information?
All of this information came from either their website, the okay. Palmer House Hotel,
okay,
or the, let's see, History Museum and Research Center.
Okay, interesting.
Sauk Center, like History Museum and Research Center.
Yeah, Amy, mm-hmm. I'll put those. Yeah, okay.
Which does seem to deviate a little bit from what we see in the Dead Files.
I wasn't going to say it.
But if most people are having positive experience or not that much, yeah. you know, if you're staying there overnight, you might only have something mm-hmm. move.
Well, and plus, how many times do we talk about where people have experiences and they're immediately, including me, are like, well, this is evil. They're mm-hmm. evil. And it's like, no, you're just scared.
People run out of their room because they have hyped themselves up for it to be mm-hmm. something yes. where,
yeah.
you know, like if Megan and I were sharing a room, we would hear the same thing or see the mm-hmm. same thing. And Megan would have blown through the wall, yep. leaving a Kool-Aid man size Megan hole in the wall. And yep. I would have been sitting there going, what?
Amy would be like, okay, but like, what could have made that? Because that sounded.
Okay, first off, that was the light from the cars on the highway yeah. next to us.
Maybe and it was your dog.
AP's oh, and Wesley's like, with us, and he jumped on the bed.
Yeah. AP's like, Megan. I'm like, nope, gone. Nope, I'm running not, I'm, home.
Can't even I'm hear running. You. I'm gone.
Okay, Megan, that was you dropping your bag home. On yeah, the floor.
Yeah. What was that? That was you, you dumbass. No, but, AP would never
but,
say that.
But you're, I mean, okay, I was going to say you're right, but I was like, okay, I want to.
I am right. Thank you. Acknowledging Amy's recording.
It was just a weird spot to like throw yeah. that in there. But you're right. People take mm-hmm. things based off of their experiences and your own bias because mm-hmm. our brains, no matter how we want to say it, our brains are made up of bias to keep us alive.
Right.
And
cavemen.
There's, well, we get 11 million pieces of information every minute to our brains. We can't process that. You're not telling yourself to breathe. You're not telling yourself what colors you're seeing, what smells you're smelling. We process 40 pieces of information out of that 11 million. So your brain jumps to conclusions. Mm-hmm. Surprise. So some of the spirit encounters that have been recorded is hearing what sounds like a young boy bouncing a ball in the hall and down the stairs, then running after it.
How do they know it's a boy? Maybe they hear.
You can't tell the difference between a boy bounce and a girl bounce.
Many people have reported seeing a young boy on the stairs.
Ah.
So there's where their bias is jumping to a conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, not just saying there's definitely bad biases out there. But
yes.
if you're driving a car and you see a deer jump out in front of you, you're one that says, save your life, slams your hand across the passenger seat and slams on the brakes. Mm-hmm. You didn't think to do that. You just did it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the running up and down the hallway at night annoys the living guests. Guests have reported hearing furniture move in the room above them and it's unoccupied. Mm-mm. Electrical episodes of lights flickering and TVs going on and off are said to have happened now and then. Again, had that at the Lutzen Resort, which is now mm-hmm. burned to the ground.
Oh. I know.
The bar also has lots of fun, kind of Stanley Hotel style.
No.
You know, where Stephen King wrote The Shining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One bartender had a customer order a drink and said he'd mm-hmm. take it to his room. The bartender checked the log for customers and learned there was no one staying there.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wonder if the guy was just already drunk and guessed the wrong room number.
Or just walked in off the street, maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he was already gone by that point.
Yeah.
And glasses have been known to fly off shelves and across the bar and break. Silverware mm-hmm. and place settings have been rearranged. And as far as we know, knives have not been thrown.
But mixing bowls have. Mixing
yes.
bowls have. That's right. So, I wonder if they're rearranging them. This is really funny. When maybe the ghosts are like type A and they're like, this place setting is fucking wrong.
That's... spoon goes Everybody over knows on that side, you idiot.
The salad fork and then your dinner fork.
That's right.
I would
from the
them.
Outside in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the main stuff that I had. And then I have some of the links to the guest experiences and paranormal findings that you can find on the website. So all of our resources, of course, will be in the mm-hmm. show notes. Let's see if I can get this to open because it's not wanting to open right now. There we go. One moment, please. So this is in on the Palmer House in the personal experiences. So here's a glimpse of what others have experienced at the Palmer House. There's a lot of different ones in here. And a lot of these are dating back to like 2009. So somebody says, my sister-in-law and I had small experiences in room 17. I kept hearing my name being called and I was the only one on the floor. It was a woman's voice. It was in the room next to me. My sister-in-law sat in the chair next to the TV and ended up moving from there after 10 minutes. She had this strong sadness overcome her and she was tearing up and everything. She went to bed. She felt someone laying on top of her.
No, thank you.
My sister and her friend stayed in another room and they didn't experience anything. So there's a whole list of just different things. This is from, looks like 2006. While I was sleeping, I was awoke by something slapping my bare leg that hung out of the cover. This is why you always keep your legs covered.
And the covers.
My eyes fluttered open. I saw something scoop by my face. Needless to say, I had a hard time staying asleep after that. Also, a really cold pocket of air was by my face for a short while, and the bathroom floor just kept getting mysteriously wet for no reason. Well, you might have peed on the floor.
Well, that could be like an issue of it seeping underneath.
Yes,
or something.
There's a lot of stuff that could be there. So,
Maybe get your prostate checked.
But it's kind of fun to go back and read mm-hmm. through what different customers have said over time and seeing what people say. Like if Lutzen had something, I would have said my shirt was stolen by some pervy ghost, or maybe it was just somebody who wanted to be fashionable, but they woke me up twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Palmer Haunt, it does have Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures. It has news and media coverage, other ghost experiences, and the blog from the owner as well. So we see they had a successful paranormal conference in 2008 and just a lot of other things that are on here. So you can take a look at all of their different websites to see some more information. But just kind of fun to see what was there.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a room or rooms that tend to have more activity in them than others.
There usually
is. Or if it's
is.
Just random.
Mm-hmm. There's usually a couple of rooms mm-hmm. that tend to have more tied to it.
Why do I feel like I heard someone say that room 17 was the...
I just talked about room 17.
She just talked about 17.
Okay, but I mean, yep. I think before, maybe I read your thing at some point.
Could be.
But I seem to remember, like, even when I was watching today, thinking that room 17 mm-hmm. was the one. So I must have... I don't know. Did they mention that in the episode today?
I can't remember.
I didn't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
In what's on their website and what I found of like Sauk Center history, historical society and that sort of stuff, didn't see any of that connection that we saw of some of the stories that were brought up and then not even talked about in the, talked about in the reveal, like the Dakota Wars with the mass execution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which we talked about in our first episode, and the first one we covered mm-hmm, of this, and mm-hmm. I still stand by that it's disgusting. It wasn't taught to us. That's the largest mass execution to date.
Yep. Yeah. I remember hearing about it, but
I don't.
I went to a private school for kindergarten through eighth grade, so.
Yeah, I did not.
Yep. So I did do some research on that because I just thought it was brought up really briefly, then barely mm-hmm. talked about and then kind of bypassed over because it was this assumption that it was tied to this character, right? And mm-hmm. who Amy Allen is like, nah, it's not that guy.
Which
the skeleton face guy. And they're trying to connect him. So it's interesting.
We never did find out who that is, did we? The mm-mm. skeleton guy.
Oh. No. Mm-mm.
And you didn't connect it to anything you read about today, Amy?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, but I really more read into the Dakota Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so first off, this took place 146 miles away from Sauk Center in Mankato, Minnesota.
In Mankato?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So this is where this all took place.
Okay.
Which it said it was the Battle of Ridgely, and they kept calling it Camp Ridgely. It was a fort. Mm-hmm. There's Camp Ripley, which is up by Brainerd area.
Believe
in Little
it or
Falls,
not.
Brainerd area. But the mass execution happened on December 26th of 1862. It is called the 38+2. There is the Dakota peoples do an honor ride from South Dakota for 2 weeks, riding up to Mankato on horseback through whatever weather and situations that they go through to honor the 38+2 that were convicted and executed. The 38 men were all hung at once. Two were hung later on. It all stemmed from the U.S. putting the Dakota 8,000 people onto a reservation property that was very, very tiny, sold to them for like 0.12 cents per acre. I dropped in these notes, but Native News Online, which we'll talk about the honor ride, nativehope.org, which is a blog that has the Dakota 38+2, and then usdakotawar.org history. So those are where I got information, but basically it stemmed from that. You have people starving, no resources, and what do peoples do throughout history? When you have no resources, you take them from those who do, which is exactly what the U.S. government did, but the Dakota people did to recover some of that, to save their own children that were dying and sick and starving to death.
Brought to them by the U.S. government.
So they led raids, which is often, I mean, raids were going on for hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this, no matter what peoples you're looking at throughout history.
I mean, you got Vikings doing it. You got your, you know.
English.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's
Hello,
not
England.
Just, gross. We hate England. Yep. I'm just kidding. We love you.
So, you know, there's just.
We love you, Zoe.
There's a lot of stuff here. And then there was battles. Something like almost 500 men were captured. They were being convicted of different things because some of them, you know, led bad battles, or they went against civilizations that had mostly women and children. And so they were being convicted of that. 303.
So the people who were being convicted, were they indigenous people?
Yeah, the Dakota.
They were
captured. Some, you know, surrendered because they were told, like, this will be better for you. 303 of them were convicted of some sort of crime. At that time, Abraham Lincoln was looking at this and said, well, we're going to have to kind of make a show so that we keep the settler, you know, the settlers in this area, because Minnesota had just become a state about 4 years prior. Mm-hmm. We need to do something that keeps the white settlers from attacking the native peoples, and from the native peoples, they need to be like kind of shut down a little bit so they don't attack again.
So we got to make an example of them.
So we need to make an example a little bit here. And
it's disgusting.
Yep. So it was 303 that were reviewed. So then it ended up with 38 that were convicted and executed.
Do we know? I'm sure you don't, but do we know how they
got so what to they those were 38? Looking at first, actually, there is some noting of this, that first it started with looking at those who committed crimes against women, which was only two. Okay. And then that's not enough.
What were the crimes? What
rape? Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you never know with our government. They could make shit up and like the crime is like they looked at them
wrong. We don't know truthfully. Like there's no record that I'm looking at that says exactly. I'm sure, again, it was history is written by the winners.
Yep.
So the others were then convicted and shown to have murdered children and women who were not part of battles. So they were in settlements. So they did attack settlements because they wanted the resources that those settlements had. Well,
because they were taken from them.
Yep. So it's the constant battle, waging war back and forth, old as time kind of thing. But that's what they drew their convictions around.
Okay.
The worst of the worst, quote unquote, to be executed. So there were originally 39. One got pardoned, but two of them were accidentally hung. They shouldn't have been. One was because he had his Dakota name, but then he went by another white man's name and he thought he heard it get called. So he stepped forward. So in you go.
Oh, my God.
So he volunteered.
Because he didn't speak a lot of English.
Right.
Yeah. He thought he heard his name.
Yeah.
And so he stepped forward like, what? And they just brushed him into the group. And then another one was a, from what I read, was a young white man who grew up with the Dakota. So he was viewed as a Dakota, and he was accidentally put into that group. So, yep. And I know I'm taking a lot of time on this, but I just felt it was really brushed over, and I just didn't feel like that was fair because they brought it up, and then they're like, well, it was a mass execution, the largest in history. Moving on. So this started in 2008, Memorial Ride was founded by Jim Miller, a Dakota spiritual leader and Vietnam veteran who succumbed to cancer in May 2023. Others have started taking on continuing this ride, which is the 38 plus 2. So we hear about it in December. I've heard about it the last few years, but the riders are Dakota descendants and allies and youth who take up the mantle to ensure the history is never forgotten. They ride from Lower Brule, South Dakota, and spans nearly 330 miles to Mankato, where the execution site is. Over the course of 2 weeks, riders will brave freezing weather conditions on horseback, stopping in communities along the way to hold ceremonies, share history, and foster dialogue. So there's more information that you can see about these things, but it's a way to make sure that history is not forgotten, even though we have people trying to wipe it out today.
Yes. Right. Trying to white it out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was already there. Now they're trying to scribble back over with some more whiteout.
Yeah. I think it's insane that the memorial just is so recent.
The honor ride. Yep.
The honor ride.
Yep. So 2008 it was when it really started. But I just, like I said, I just felt like there needed to be a little bit more that was put into this than just saying, oh, so we used to have this school and I don't think it's called Henry Sibley anymore. But this was the Henry Sibley was the colonel or general that was part of all of commissioning all of this.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting. Cool. I guess I'd be interested to know if they still have that school or if they renamed it.
I can't remember. He was a general. General Sibley. Hmm. And then, yeah, so they were all hung at the same time. So that's why it was so significant as well. So they put 38 up on the gallows.
Jeez.
Yep, and then
I hope they all died quick.
Then they were, it says they were only up for a short amount of time, so yes. And then they were dumped into a
mass grave.
Yeah. And here's even worse.
Of course. Why not?
Before morning, most of the bodies had been dug up and taken by physicians to use as medical cadavers.
Oh boy.
So they didn't even get burial rites.
No.
They didn't get any, yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Rocking our history, America. Great.
Also, just a quick letter that was from one of the men. I'm not going to pronounce this right. Horayanka to Chief Wabasha shortly before his execution. You have deceived me. You told me if we followed the advice of General Sibley and gave ourselves to the whites, all would be well. No innocent man would be injured. I have not killed, wounded, or injured a white man or any white persons. I have not participated in the plunder of their property, and yet today I am set apart for execution and must die in a few days, while men who are guilty will remain in prison. My wife is your daughter. My children are your grandchildren. I leave them all in your care and under your protection. Do not let them suffer. And when my children are grown up, let them know that their father died because he followed the advice of his chief and without having the blood of a white man to answer for to the Great Spirit.
Wow. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. So because they were told that
it's like when, you know, women were tried as witches, they're like, if you just repent, it'll be fine. And then they did.
If
and then they were
just
killed.
Drown, if you just drown, we'll know that you were innocent of being
a
witch.
We'll know that you were innocent. God, why are you being such a bitch about this?
Again, for those who thought I took on too long on this, I apologize to that for you. But I just, they brought it in and it just didn't fit to the story, and they didn't do enough justice.
Well, that
to it,
we
so
know
that's
of
me.
Because again, they could have talked about it for 2 hours, and they.
Oh, I'm sure there was more than just.
I'm sure there was.
It was the largest execution. Thanks.
Yeah, they probably just, even if Steve, when he spoke to that lady, even if she had told him all the stuff that you have said, AP. Once they got to the reveal and Amy didn't connect anybody, any of the spirits in the house to that, yeah, they probably just said, you know what, we're not going to even gonna bother with that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they were like, ooh, but we can't cut that whole section out because we don't have enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my biggest spiel. I won't get on my history high horse anymore. And I am not an expert. I am just reading what I have read. Right. So I'm not.
And you've
trying
named
to...
your sources, and they'll be in the show notes. If anybody wants to look further, they certainly can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. And I encourage you to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Hi friends! Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
All right. Do we have anything we want to talk about in the that happened in the episode? I mean, anything like, obviously, we're not done.
Nope.
We're still waiting on a waiting on a chaos magician.
Yeah, I mean, this might have been one of the first times that we heard about a chaos magician.
Yeah.
At least in our episode, because I know we were like, what is that?
Oh, yeah.
And
listening to you guys at 1.5 times speed, was hilarious listening to how excited you were in it.
I did that yesterday. I listened to it at 1.5 also because I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing. And yeah, we were pretty funny though. That was a pretty funny episode.
We're hilarious.
I was laughing. I'm like, oh, you know what? We are kind of funny.
I did too. I'm like, wow, we're hilarious. You guys, everybody listening, you're welcome. Yeah. Samantha, Shannon.
Samantha.
Oh. Gail. I'm just going to throw that in there. Yeah. I don't know who Gail is. Maybe it's from Top Chef. Maybe she listens.
Oh, Gail Simmons. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm sure she's a big fan.
Gail
big fan.
Simmons. I bet I'm related to her.
Oh, you think so? She's Canadian.
Eh?
Eh?
I will say that the experiences that they had in the show were solid. Like, a mixing bowl getting thrown at you.
Yeah. Footsteps.
Shoved,
shadow figures.
Footsteps.
Do you think somebody just wanted cookies? That's why they were setting the mixing bowls across.
They were like, oh, you made oatmeal raisin?
Ooh. No, I want some Nestle Toulouse.
Nestle Toulouse. This is a very Friends-heavy recipe.
Episode.
Take a little bit of Ross. Whiny.
Which I've had Friends on my mind quite a bit lately because I'll talk about it in our sideshow, but book that we listened to when we went out to Door County, the main character is Vivi Boucher, and I was Phoebe Buffay.
Buffay,
huh? And I was like, do you think she got inspiration?
I bet you. I bet that name came from that.
So, yeah.
Anyways,
so yeah, those were the things that they heard or that were happening. I was curious if Wyatt still lives there.
I know.
And did he work there or did he just live there?
I felt like he just lived there.
I thought so too. And I thought it was weird that his bedroom, when they showed it, had like nothing in it. He'd been there for 7 months and there was like a pillow on the bed and that was it. Like, there
he
was
probably put the rest of it in the closet.
Yeah, maybe.
Like Monica.
But you mean boys are not like, I feel like boys, and this is a blanket statement, don't feel the need to make things homey the way girls do.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or like, we could say men and women, because they're usually the ones that are living out there.
Like, they're not like, I'm going to bring this picture of my best friend Jake, and this, my fuzzy slippers that my Mima gave me, and this blanket. They're
Why
like,
not? Men, you should try. Try in. Creature comforts. They're pretty nice.
Yes.
It's not just held for ladies to do.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. You can make anything your home. But yeah, I did not feel like he
It's probably
was
just
a
all
worker.
Shoved in the closet so that
probably
you don't
was.
See it all.
That or under be. The bed.
Under the bed. Did you guys notice the Steve when he was interviewing? I think it was when he was interviewing Wyatt. He was wearing a you could see peeking through his little pink shirt was a looked like a black wife beater,
probably
underneath his little shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't
either
know.
Either that or it's the microphone.
Wyatt just kind of, I feel like Wyatt was in the show to be in the show, like to get to be on TV. Because
they needed somebody else to talk to.
Yeah
but like his stuff was not, when in the reveal and they're like asking him, you know, about his experience, he's like, well, I get really anxious. And I'm like, who doesn't, Wyatt?
He got jumped though. So I can see why they put him in. Because Kelly's husband, Brett, mm-hmm. was like, I don't really spend very much time here. Well, you know, like he didn't really have too much to say about the stuff. So my guess is they were like, oh, he's probably not going to be too into it for the reveal. So we'll just use Wyatt.
And like, you know,
Wyatt's got to work there or something then. Because, I mean, it is a small hotel and intimate, but... I don't think he would work there, he's like a cousin or a nephew.
Maybe he's related or something. Sure.
I mean, it is Minnesota. We bring all the strays in.
It's true.
So I had, when as I'm watching and we hear about Cassius Sprague, mm-hmm. I thought he was the 15-year-old soldier.
Yeah. Yes. Which is how they tied him to the massacre.
Yeah.
But, and then they show this picture of this man who's not 15, but
Thunder.
Anyway, I know we're getting spooky storm out here today.
Spooky, ooky storm.
But I thought for sure the skeleton face guy was him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then in the reveal, Amy says that's not him.
Amy's like, no.
Yeah, she's like, that's not him.
She's like, not even a little bit.
No, she got more towards whoever was the one who killed somebody else.
Yeah. He killed a woman and other people too, but I don't know who that was. Was there somebody like that in history?
No.
No.
I don't recall there being anybody like that in history.
I think this.
Unless it was this policeman who was the one who was found shot.
Oh, that's not, that was...
Jason Rosenberg, the policeman found dead at City Hall.
Who they think it was a murder, but they wiped it, or they wrote it off as an accidental.
Yeah, and Steve's
killing.
Like, what? No, that was a homicide. I don't know.
All of the bullets were in his gun, and the bullet that was taken out of him did not match the bullets in his gun.
Right.
How are you going to rule that an accidental shooting?
Or a suicide.
Yep. Yeah. And then down in the reveal, Amy mentions, like, it was the male that killed a female was white, had lots of money, 1890s, did bad things. You know, is this potentially one of the former owners of the Palmer House when it was the Apfelds or the Sox Center house or, you know, something like that? Because we know that it was a hotel, it was a saloon, it was a brothel. Yeah. There were... You know,
that's a good combination for a lot of crime.
Yeah, there's a combination for a lot of things. So it could have just been somebody who was also passing through and left some residual energy behind.
But I also think that it could be, you know, I think she may have tapped into a serial killer spirit that we just
could be
never found. Look at the key baby.
Yeah, Boo Boo is so shaking because the storm. Look at her tongue. You're very cute, Boo Boo. Yeah, she was climbing up my leg, and she is like, she's like a paint can.
Did she just get a haircut?
Yeah.
She is very trim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
she looking
that's
cute.
What I thought. I thought that she was tapping into the spirit of the serial killer.
Could be. Yeah, could absolutely. Because
especially when he said he'd killed several people that nobody knew about.
And if you're on the rail, like they're not far from rail lines. Right. It was a pass-through area. We've heard of likely serial killers that have been through the, you know, using the rails in the 1900s. Likely
the
Basilica Axe Murder House is very likely to have been somebody who got away on the train. And that's why they were never, and there was a handful more of those that were around that same time.
Yeah. There was one when I was growing up, I remember, because I think I heard it on the news, and I couldn't sleep for like a week because every time I heard a train whistle, I was like, he's coming to murder me. My problems start so young, you guys.
Would you like to talk about it, Megan?
You know, I think I do in therapy. Poor Brittany. She's like, oh my God, I have fucking Megan again. Some of the, I mean, the stuff that they were experiencing was real. They had stuff flying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some guests were even pushed. Workers were pushed.
Well, I might push some people, but you know.
They pushed me, my buttons. That was bad. I tried so hard, you guys. And that was just
I'll just physically push somebody out of my way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the stuff that they experienced, it was legit. We're not saying it wasn't legit. We're just, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gotten on the show if it wasn't legit. Right. But, you know, they're not. Well, that's true.
Well, this was earlier on, though. I mean, you're talking episode 15 when they let any old Tom, Dick, or Harry on there.
No, well, I was saying.
This is season 9.
Yeah, that's this was episode 9. So it was earlier.
No. Season nine.
This was season nine. So that was a lot earlier than season where they let...
The last season where they dialed it in.
Yeah. Especially the last few episodes.
Have you read the book that my father wrote that I happen to have 15 copies of sitting on our coffee table? Do you want to see it?
It's about when I was possessed.
It's about when I was possessed.
By drugs, but we don't want to talk about that.
No. Pretty soon we're going to get to the bottom of some of that anyway. Spoiler alert. Not spoiler. Teaser.
What do you mean?
Because we're talking to somebody who was a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Eventually.
Sorry.
We will be.
Eventually.
I love watching the pieces come together between you two.
Bless. I mean, poor. I was texting Amy earlier this week, and I'm like, it must be just like seriously exhausting. Last week. You guys, I had a rough week last week. I had a really hard week, and I texted Amy a lot, and I'm like, it must be so exhausting to be my friend. Like... It's just so draining to be my friend.
No, it's not.
Where you're like, oh, Megan texted me. Does she know what's going on? Or is she just completely lost her marbles today?
Oh, the only time I question if you know what's going on is when you text me late at night and it's not a text. It's a voice message that goes, Amy.
Or just randomly, I only listen to the live shows. Out of the blue.
What is she doing over there? Nothing
else there. I love that. I laughed. I didn't know how to respond for a little bit because I was like,
"And the funny
did I
part
miss
was,
something?
No. With that text message, AP, like you and I hadn't chatted like one-on-one. We chatted in the group for like a couple weeks. And then out of nowhere, I'm like, I really like listening. And you're like.
No, it was, I only listen to the live shows. I only like listening to the live shows of And That's Why We Drink. And I was like.
Where'd that come from?
Did AP's she mean like, to text me?
AP's like, were you having a conversation with me and I wasn't a part of it?
That's what I asked. I sent back.
I often go, was that meant for me?
Yeah.
And then she'll go, yep. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I don't understand.
I need some background.
Just open
I'm
your.
So sorry.
When
you guys.
Open up your Instagrams, both of you always probably have plenty, because that's what I send. I don't send TikToks, I send Instagrams.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
Thank
fine.
You.
Oh, no. It's entertaining. It's not a problem.
But it sends my brain reeling, like, were we talking on Snapchat and she took it over here? Like,
no.
What?
It's hard when you're talking to people on several different platforms.
Yes.
That can be
difficult.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I will be having with my siblings, we will have our Instagram reel sending back and forth and then our text message. And then we also have our Snapchat. And we'll be doing all three at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And you can't carry one conversation over to the other one because then everyone gets confused.
No. Yeah. That's too confusing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not monsters.
Like these pictures.
Like these, yeah. Yeah, those sketches were terrifying.
Okay, that one with the
black-eyed
the guy
kids,
with his hair slicked back and the pinstripe suit.
And the skeleton
face. That is so gangster to me.
Yeah, it is.
So it makes me think he's like a mobster.
Kid
Can. It could be Kid Can.
I don't know.
Well, he's probably one of the St. Paul gangsters since they were the murdery crew.
That's true. They were the murdery crew.
That's true. So it would have been... What? Dillinger, Creepy Carpus.
Babyface Nelson.
Babyface Nelson.
The Barker Gang.
The Barker Gang, yep.
Barker
Carpus.
Depending on time frame, I mean, like the James Younger Gang was down in Northfield area. Mm. I don't think they came up to St. Cloud, but that is a well-known story in Northfield with the Jesse James Gang.
Okay. Yeah. Could have been any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know.
The sketches were good in this one.
They were.
They were like the one sketch with all the people in the hallway.
They look like they're having a craze. Like,
Yeah, that was a weird sketch. The art seems so different from the other one to
me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder, no, it was the same sketch.
It was the same
artist.
Person.
Yeah. I think because there wasn't really a focal, like there wasn't a Mm-mm. focal point, a person to be focused on. It was just a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
But she did say there's a lot of residual energy. Yeah. So, you know, if they wanted to get rid of the, you know, skeleton face guy, the mean guy, and mm-hmm. have the residual around, they could still have their tours mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
But residual isn't interactive, though.
No.
That's right. Like somebody they don't walking even, the same path it, every day.
Yeah, it's like a recording.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't even, they're not affected by what we do.
So they wouldn't be responsible for like moving stuff or saying names or anything like that.
I don't think so.
Unless they're like walking through it, like if it was a walkway
going
and
about
now
their
something's
business.
In there.
Yeah.
And
if they're probably not saying the names of live people right
people
now.
People there.
If they're saying names at all and you're hearing it could be them just talking.
I'm curious.
Back then.
If, okay, let's say they were able to get rid of all of the bad, you know, dudes and you just have the residual. Would potentially the residual then, was that like a calling card for other spirits in the area? Like, if there's other spirits that are lost and wandering or just nearby and maybe they're not bound by the, you know, mm-hmm. what we see in the TV show Ghosts where they're bound by property lines.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would think no, because if it's not active spirits, then I would think. And
but
just
there would still
guessing.
Be energy there.
But I wouldn't think there mm-hmm. would be energy if it's, I mean,
energy
not enough
can't
to put
be created
out a beacon.
And, it can't be created and destroyed, but if it's constantly going in a loop, there's still energy there, just not, there's not
but
a...
But I wouldn't think it'd be strong enough to be like a beacon, any more so than you and me and Amy existing.
But if that's a spot where there is something and there's nothing else around it, even if it's a weak light...
But there's stuff around it, like the people putting out energy.
Right, but I'm talking if you can view it on different planes and you're just like, if being like that, you know, spirit, whatever, and you're like, ooh, I need to find somewhere to go and I want to, you know.
Ouch. Yeah.
Maybe that's I can go here.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I could see how something like that could happen while that medium/chaos magician is there taking care of everything. There could be other spirits around going, hey, what's going on over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, maybe that guy can help me and mm-hmm. go over there hoping for help from the chaos magician. Just mm-hmm. like we've seen episodes where the client is somebody who's super sensitive and they're mm-hmm. like a beacon. Mm-hmm. And so then the people just come and stand in line waiting to get, mm-hmm. you know, relieved and moved on. So, I can see how while that action is happening, that could certainly...
Yeah. Just because I'm curious if they get rid of some of that, but then all of a sudden they are having what sounds like intelligent voices or mm-hmm. recordings and that sort of stuff. Like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, is it, you know, just like, I'm bored. I'm going to go hang out over here for a couple hundred years.
Yeah. I'm bored in the house and I'm in the house bored. Bored in the house and I'm in... It's from TikTok. 2020.
I don't know that one.
That was five years ago.
You would if you heard it, Amy, I bet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I was on board and on TikTok in 2020. I think I was. I wasn't. I've only been on for a couple of years. Because
you know,
I thought it was for the kids before.
And then I realized I've actually been on it since 2020.
Yeah.
Because I was pregnant and I was on it. So
I was not pregnant. And I was not on it.
Good call.
So, yeah, no, I was late to the game. I resisted because I thought it was for children.
And now we know it's not.
And now we know it's not.
It's for everybody.
Everybody.
Was there anything else on the episode or from when you guys recapped that you want to?
Wait, I had something.
Grasp for it.
Yeah. It was about
slipping
something
through her fingers.
That, oh,
slipping
I know. We were a little maybe rough on Kelly for like... calling them in at the same time going, oh, but we're doing ghost tours. Mm-hmm. And then acting like, I didn't ever think that could be an issue, which, you know, fine. But I will say that, and Amy read her the Riot Act about that.
She did.
Mm-hmm. And she did. That's where I kind of, like I said, when we recapped this 100 years ago mm-hmm. in episode 3, I did not watch it. It was Megan's recap. So I did not watch it. So I was only going by what Megan was explaining. And I was like, oh, that sounds like, you know, she got read the Riot Act by Amy. Now I've seen it. And I think I probably had seen it before, but it was so long ago in between then and when we recorded that I didn't remember it. But so we were both kind of like, yeah, that seems sketch. That why wouldn't she put those two together? And maybe she did, maybe she didn't, but it sounds like now they don't still do ghost tours, do they? I was looking at their website. I saw history tours, but I did not see ghost tours.
It took me a while to find the guest experiences too.
Yeah, I didn't see those right away either.
It's not on the main menu. You have to like dig to find some of those. So
I noticed that too.
I don't think so. There might be something towards like October, like a lot of places do.
Oh, there could be something like that. Yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were, you know, it's easy to remember because we've, AP and Amy and I have been in, you know, interested in this for forever, you know, and so it's easy for us to be like, oh, well, everybody knows that, you know, this leads to this. And if you do a ghost, you know, but not everybody knows that.
There's also ghost tours can be just fine as long as they're done respectfully and sharing the history and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I've love going on those, you know, the dark history tours or wherever of different places, or having the potential to see, feel, hear something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've partaken in several of those, but then there are ones that you start looking up and you're like, this feels sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that call out is. But then again, we can also look back and say, how was it edited to maybe make Kelly look?
There it is.
You know,
and
like she had no idea, awestricken. And it could have been that she said something along the lines of, you know, I had thought about that, but didn't put a lot of thought into it. Or, you know, something along those lines.
But
like,
it
made sense, but.
Or, you know, what we have seen before, what clients have told us before, is that when you see Steve or Amy asking them a question and then you see them answering it,
It's
not
response.
Always the answer that they gave to that question. They clip it in so that it sounds like you're answering this answer to that question, and that is not how it happened in reality.
Yes.
So, you know, we do know now. I mean, I've always known that what shows up on a TV show is not 100% of the information. I know that.
I did not.
But I didn't know how
much.
Yes.
Badly.
Yeah.
This show in particular is guilty of doing that.
Agreed.
There might be other shows that are just as bad or worse. I don't know. But I will say that I would never have considered that they would have spliced in an answer that was not the answer to the question that they showed him asking.
Well, because I mean, we saw...
Why would you think that?
We saw the one who we also interviewed with her ex-husband's
Laura.
Family.
That's what I was talking about. Yep. That's what made me think of it,
Was shown to be incredibly racist in the show. Like, he's a KKK member, and
that was not have been furthest from the truth.
Right. He was the
drama,
white man married to a black woman at the time.
His grandfather.
His grandfather, the husband's grandfather.
Literally the opposite of the way he was painted.
Exactly.
Yep. So I mean, that's when I think we all started to get a little frustrated with the Dead Files, and like, you're putting this out and not everybody gets the privilege of talking to the clients the way we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they're just going on, and that's somebody's name.
Yeah.
They completely besmirched his character when it was the complete opposite. So, you know, we know now after 3.5 years of doing this that, you know, some of the earlier episodes we did might be a little bit harsh.
We made some conclusions that we jumped to that we should not have. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're just acknowledging it that, you know, we learned, we've grown as a podcast, as podcasters, and as individuals.
Yeah.
So, you know,
if you're not learning and you're not growing, then you're dying.
That's right.
Yep.
And that's why I love to have clients come on and tell their side, because often, not every time, but often, it's wildly different from what we saw when we watched it. Yep. And so, yeah, I think, yeah. That's all I got to say about that. Yeah,
that's all we're going to say about that.
All right.
You know, it was a good episode.
It was a good episode.
There was a lot of activity and, you know.
Yeah. And we have talked about finding a haunted location in Minnesota or near, you know, could be Wisconsin. I don't care if it doesn't take too long to drive to, that we could go to and record an episode or stay overnight mm-hmm. or do something fun like that. So, you know, we could potentially go there and see for ourselves. But, you know, there's a lot of places to choose from. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
just so you guys know, we're looking into that. We are considering doing something like that. And
And keep in mind that we are always growing.
That's right.
The us from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, one year ago, not necessarily the us from now.
Right.
But and we still are hilarious. That never changes.
Well, we've been told that we are not as, what's the word that they used? We are not as happy-go-lucky. Is that the word? Phrase?
Palatable.
No, it wasn't palatable. It was, we were more like goofy, haha, silly, and now we're too serious or something like that. And I'm look at the
it's because
in world right
like
now.
Me.
No, I don't think it was it.
I think the change she kind of mentioned was when I came on.
Well, maybe, no, I don't think it has anything to do with you, but maybe that we're more like talking more about the scientific stuff because that really was not something that Megan and I ever covered when we were doing it alone. So,
you mean I poke holes in things?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Like Swiss cheese.
Yep.
Which is delicious.
So anyway, that's where we are. If anybody knows of any other locations that are paranormal that we could go to and see for ourselves, we're not going to do like an investigation. We don't have any of the material or anything like that.
Please us to your house, though. I'm sorry.
No, we're not going to go to some private house. But, you know, a location like at a hotel or an inn or someplace where you could stay or like a haunted drugstore and we can stay in a hotel nearby. I don't know. Something like that you can think of that's not too far away from, you know, the cities of Minneapolis.
But if anybody's in Ireland and
we would love
has
to
some
come
great
out there.
Ideas, I'm going. So.
Yeah, Amy's going to be there in November. I'm going to be in Scotland in October. So if you guys know of anything out there,
and I'm
going to
be in Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll tap Megan in via phone.
Tap tap tap.
Yeah. Tap tap tap.
Anyway, all right. Well,
anyway,
thank you guys for joining us for this recap, revisit, whatever you want to call it. Recap of the recap. Yes. And we will see you next week. I'm not really sure what we're doing next week.
Nobody knows.
We don't know. We might reschedule our guest if they're able to come back. Otherwise, we will just do another recap.
You'll find out when we find out.
Yes. Or we will just pick another TV show. That was another thing we were going to do is pick a different TV show like Kindred Spirits or...
Not a haunting.
No, Megan doesn't want to watch a haunting. That was one I was kind of rooting for, but she's too scared of that one.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
You and AP can
We can
do that
one sometime. AP and I can do that one.
Because AP will be like, that's fake. And I'll be like, there's demons. So, well.
Don't you see the string?
How it goes.
Yeah. So. All right.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network. Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Hi, all. I'm sure you have heard our ads for Wantable in the past few months. Both Amy P. and Megan have told you what they like about it, but now it's my turn. A friend and I were talking about Wantable the other day, and she said, it sounds interesting, but I'm so picky about clothes because I hate the styles I'm seeing lately. I told her that I felt that Wantable was made specifically for those who feel like this. First of all, you tell them exactly what you like. You can look at all these pictures on their website and go, I like this, I don't like that, never send me animal prints. And they actually have a real person picking out the clothes based on your preferences. They send all the items to you, and if you don't like any of it, you just put it back in the bag and send it back. I do suggest trying everything on, even if you don't think you'll like it, because I have found many items where I was like, ew, when I pulled it out of the bag, but once I tried it on, I loved it. So I don't recommend rejecting things right away. I also recommend taking some photos or videos of yourself, trying them on, and then a day later go back, rewatch, and then try things on again. You may change your mind. I have. But if you do send it all back, they'll just send you another bag of items to try. When you send something back, they give you an opportunity to say why you didn't like it, and I highly recommend you take the time to tell them. So, like my first bag, they sent me stuff that made me look like I'm going on a cruise ship for senior citizens, and I told them that. So I also recommend being really specific in your comments. Don't be afraid to say, I don't like the cut of this, this one made my boobs look too big, etc. My last reason for loving this way of shopping is that I don't like going to the store and trying on things. Almost nothing looks good on me that way. But I like to do it at home, and then I can mix and match with things that I already own. I can say, oh, I love this scarf, and it matches that dress I have, so I'm going to keep that. Now, Wantable isn't cheap, so think of it as a special treat for yourself. My co-host AP does this. Every once in a while, she'll get a box just to celebrate a win or something. So I wouldn't do it every month, but it's fun to get a giant bag of clothes and pull them all out and be like, that's ugly, that's cute. And if you use our promo code, The Activity Continues, you get $25 off whatever items you keep. So jump on this if you're ready to buy your new favorite clothing. Happy shopping. And don't forget, use the promo code, The Activity Continues, for $25 off your first order. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with The Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone, and have nothing to do with The Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.